Yeah. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is that hour again, and we're fighting a huge windstorm here in the Louisville, Kentucky area, so hopefully we'll stay on the air, and we don't know if we'll blame the black helicopters or the windstorm, or maybe we'll blame global warming, or maybe we'll blame the Mayan calendar if we go off the air tonight. But the bottom line is today's date is Thursday, December the 20th. Had to do a double take there. That's right. Today is Thursday, December the 20th. If you want to call in tonight, the call-in numbers as usual across the nation, 858-683-1326. And if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, you can call in at 502-805-0334. We'll start out with our popular top-of-the-hour report of this week, this date, this time in history. If we go back, a very important date this week in 1773 was the Boston Tea Party. Now, you can go and do your research if you want about the Boston Tea Party. I know lately everybody hears Tea Party, and they might think of the Tea Party movement that was hijacked by the neocons in the last couple of years, or they might talk about the originality of the New Tea Party, which was a Ron Paul fundraiser several years ago, or they might just come back and say, what is this Boston Tea Party? I'm in the government indoctrination camps called the public schools, and I don't know what this means. Well, the Boston Tea Party was a political protest by the Sons of Liberty in Boston against the tax policy of the British government and the East India Company that controlled all the tea imported into the colonies. And this week in 1773, after officials had refused to return three shiploads of tax tea to Britain from Boston, the colonists said, screw this, and they boarded the ships, and they destroyed the tea by throwing it into the Boston Harbor. That was this week in 1773. Now, also, Thomas Paine's The American Crisis, if you want to go back and do your history on that, in 1776, we have Thomas Paine's The American Crisis, and for people who are not familiar with that, it was a collection of articles written by Thomas Paine during the American Revolutionary War. He had written Common Sense, which was an extremely popular and successful pamphlet, arguing for independence from England. And he collected these essays into something called The American Crisis. It constituted his ongoing support for independence and self-government through the many severe crises of the Revolutionary War. I guess I should have opened up the show tonight with It's the End of the World as We Know It, but I feel fine. Our good friends Michael Stipe and R.E.M., my favorite openly communist band, because everybody tells us the world's going to end. The world's going to end. 12-21-12. Well, a lot of us thought the world was going to end when we elected Barack Obama, and that was 4 years ago. And everybody said there's no way in hell that people will be stupid enough to reelect Barack Hussein Obama. Fool me once and all that crap, right? Well, we did. Well, we didn't. I'm not going to use the collective we because there's no way in hell I voted for him or his Democrat light opponent, Mittens Romney. I wasn't going to choose between shit sandwich number one and shit sandwich number two. Mentioning shit sandwiches, it was this week in 1998 that President Bill Clinton was impeached. Think back to that. That was 14 years ago yesterday. 14 years ago that President Bill Clinton was impeached. And yes, I agree that he should have been impeached, but we could make that case for many presidents, couldn't we? And think about what a simpler time it was just in 1998. Hell, the price of gold was around $300 an ounce. Silver could be bought by mere silver coins. But we impeached President Clinton, and who knew by comparison he would look good. Everything is relative, they say, the law of relativity, and compared to our president, Bill Clinton actually looks good, God forbid. Now if we go back 392 years ago today, the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. And I'm not going to get you into a he said, she said story about were the Pilgrims good or were the Pilgrims bad, but again, it all led up to where we are today. the Pilgrims there at Plymouth Rock, and you go 100 years forward, and the Boston Tea Party, and you go 100 years forward from that, and we got presidents like Ronald Reagan getting shot at because he speaks ill of the New World Order. We had John F. Kennedy back in the 60s. Hard to believe, coming up on 50 years next year, that they killed John F. Kennedy because he stood up against the New World Order. And that leads us to today, December 20th, 2012. You see, I could get on here and do a year in review show if you really thought that that was going to be popular, but I've not really been one for year in review shows. If anything, this is the time of year that they supposedly have no news. But we know that news is agenda-driven. We know that all the news that the mainstream press puts out is agenda-driven. Look at Piers Morgan sitting up there on CNN. He says he's coming to conquer America. He wants a few good unarmed men. Piers Morgan attacking American gun rights and their Second Amendment. And I just want to ask Piers Morgan, will you be happy until we go door to door and we collect everybody's weapons? Would it make you happier? And we know that's what he wants. He won't say it. He wants us to be the good, the bad, and the murdered because we aren't allowed to carry a gun. I mean, really? I think we're going to start a new movie called No Country for Whiny-Ass British Men, because that would be Piers Morgan. You see, we are agenda-driven in the news, and the only thing that makes the mainstream is what is filtered through the globalist filters. So there's a lot of news that does go on this time of year that we never hear. But again, there are some good things that we want to report, and there's always some bad things. You look at what happened this year. You look at some of the people that we lost this year. There were a lot of good folks for liberty that we lost this year. And if I'm looking over the list and trying to recall from my own mind here, I look back and I think about Robert Bork just died this week. Robert Bork was a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals judge who was nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, hard to believe, 25 years ago. He was rejected by the Senate. They made it very controversial. They made it very partisan. They made it very biased. They made it very prejudiced against Robert Bork. He became a leading voice among U.S. conservatives. He was a best-selling author, and he was a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute for Public Policy Research. And see what else we had. Chuck Colson also died this year. I forgot about that. Chuck Colson, who was known as Nixon's hitman, and was doing anything he could to ensure the re-election of Richard Nixon. At one point he said, I'd walk over my grandmother to ensure the re-election of Richard Nixon. Well, he kind of came around, and Chuck Colson found God, so to speak, and started Prison Fellowship Ministries. Tony Blankley was a commentator who once wrote speeches for President Ronald Reagan, and he served as a press secretary, and he died this year also in his 60s. I almost forgot. Another notable death this year, Rodney King. Did that one sneak by you? Everybody remembers Rodney King. Rodney King, whose videotape beat down by the police rocked Los Angeles and caused all the rioting. Maybe he was telling us something about police brutality back then, or maybe he was just high on a lot of drugs. You know how that war of drugs works. Rodney King died in an apparent swimming pool drowning this year, believe it or not. But back to the seriousness, Russell Means was a hero of mine. Russell Means was a leader of American Indians and a prominent figure in the 71 day of the occupation of Wounded Knee in South Dakota in the year I was born, 1973. Russell Means demanded a Senate investigation of the ouster of Richard Wilson. He was the tribal leader of the Oglala Sioux tribe. They were tried on charges of conspiracy, assault, and theft in St. Paul, Minnesota, but the judge dismissed the charges. And believe this or not, accused the FBI of meddling. Russell Means was a hero in the independent movement. He actually ran for president on the Libertarian ticket in the primary. It's really kind of sad when you think about the stuff we have endured this year, because you go back to the beginning of the year. Hell, I can remember almost a year ago to the date, we were trying to plan to have some active involvement in the Republican convention process. Anybody who's been listening to our shows off and on, I don't want to repeat what I'm sure you heard before about all the trouble that we dealt with the Republican convention process. Who knew that the Liberty Movement, those of us who are registered, still registered in the Republican Party, would get screwed over at the local, state, and federal level when it came to the Republican conventions. You see, as I was saying earlier, this is a time of year that usually we don't have much news. Everybody's doing this year in review, and everybody wants to talk about what happened this year. But wait a minute. We have a mass killing. We have a mass homicide at a government indoctrination camp. So that takes precedence over everything else. You see, mass killings account for less than 1% of homicides, and many do not include guns. And there's a new study that says such incidences are put into way, way down the level of stark context when you look at mass killings, victims of mass killings. But if it comes along in a perfect time for a gun control measure, then why not? You're listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show. We're going to go right to the phones. And I believe I know who this is, but we're going to take them. Caller, you're on the air. Is this our good friend?
Dale, Paul Holliger calling in.
Paul, there he is. Paul, I had a problem with the chat room earlier. If you try to get in there, how are you tonight?
I'm actually on the road tonight, so I'm not
okay.
In the chat room.
But I've been for Michael Lewis into the chat room, so we'll send him your love. What's going on?
You just swerved into the gun control debate, which
I had to.
I
this is the time of year that there's hardly ever any news, Paul, but we have the convenience of a gun control debate, which, you know, look what Rahm Emanuel and all of them said, never let a good crisis go to waste. How do you feel about all that, Paul?
Well, I am, first of all, I'm not a gun owner, but I am an avid gun rights supporter, and I'll tell you why. The founders understood that ordinary citizens need something to protect themselves from a government that might become tyrannical. Well, we've made it to tyranny here in the United States.
Yep.
Anyone who wants to deny that is simply living in la-la land, okay?
Yep.
But a whole bunch of great statistics are out there. The trouble is a lot of these gun control mental lightweights simply don't want to accept the facts for what they are.
Yeah.
I sent a story to a couple of folks that I know about something that happened not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, up in Ohio. And it involved police chasing two suspects. And the suspects were suspected of discharging a weapon.
Yep.
From a moving vehicle.
Story.
Okay.
Yep.
The story went on to say that the suspects, when they were being approached by the cop car who apparently lit them up, they decided, it's time to get away. And so they went on this chase. By the time it was over, a whole bunch of different police from a whole lot of different jurisdictions ended up discharging their weapons to the tune of 138 bullets.
Yeah.
138 bullets, or 37 bullets, were discharged in the police chase, okay?
This is a police chase that started because of just the false belief that these guys had maybe a weapon in the car that they weren't supposed to have.
There was nothing more than a suspicion. There was no other evidence. None of the cops were eyewitness to the possible discharge of a weapon from a vehicle.
Nope.
They simply said, we think it was a weapon. So they ended up hunting these two suspects down and killed them both. One passenger ended up with a dozen bullets in the passenger. I think it was her. I don't know how many bullets ended up in the driver's body, but they ultimately found no weapons in the car. They found no shell casings along the route. The police ended up killing two people who didn't have any reason to be killed by the police, all on the basis of one cop saying, I think it was a weapon. I think it was a weapon. And, of course, there's all these people that are going to fault these folks for running. But both of these people had previous encounters with police and judicial system. They have police records. So since I haven't been down that particular road, I don't know what it's like to have a record and then have the police show up in your rearview mirror. But I think that I would be a little bit concerned because the justice system is just corrupt as hell. Now, Dale.
Well, yeah, and last night I was talking with Ed on the Ed Springsteen show. I mean, everybody will say, what do you have to hide? And what are you running from? And you shouldn't have anything to hide. Why, you know, why are you guilty if you have nothing to hide? And if that works for us, then why doesn't it work for them? If you try to record one of these public officials that used to be called peace officers, now they're law enforcement, if you try to videotape one of them, they're all up in arms. But another videotape from their own cars came out this week, Paul, and it just reminded me of the story. We mentioned the Ohio story. Did you see the story from this very week where the Texas State Troopers pulled over the two ladies?
No.
Texas State Trooper pulled over two ladies, Trooper Kelly Hellison, and we found out finally that he was suspended with pay, which means a free vacation, I guess. And he was suspended a day after two women he searched, I'm sorry, she searched, I forgot there was a man and a woman on this patrol, and they stopped this couple, this lady and her niece, and told them the reason they were pulling them over is because they think they saw them flick cigarettes out, and lo and behold, once they got to their car, they thought they smelled marijuana. So the first mistake was the lady and her niece who were on their way to Oklahoma and got stuck in this speed trap called the state of Texas. They got pulled over, and the first mistake they made is they consented to get out of the car, which I would have said roll the window down very little and ask them if they're being detained. That's the key story we keep telling people. If the cop pulls you over, you should ask, am I being detained, and am I free to go? Those are two questions you should be asking, but they didn't do that in hindsight. And then, worse yet, they let the police officer search their car. Found nothing. But that wasn't good enough because the male patrol officer from the Texas Department of State Troopers said that it smelled like marijuana. So they individually took them out, the woman and her niece, had the female state trooper come out and do full body cavity searches of both women in the middle of the street. Doesn't that make you feel safe, Paul?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, that unfortunately seems to be the mindset of a lot of people in the policing business these days, is that civil rights of anybody basically don't count.
And they found nothing.
Just don't count. Yeah.
They found nothing. It's bad enough that I guess these four girls were operating under the premise of, hey, I've got nothing to hide, so let them search it. God forbid they had something planted in there. But you never know. The girl was using her boyfriend's car. Who knows what was left in there? Maybe unknown to her, but they found nothing. The searches found nothing. And then we find out today that the troopers were suspended with pay for this incident. I mean, the Fourth Amendment pretty much crumbles up and dies when they take them out there and start putting their hands inside these women's bodies, Paul.
Dale, I want to go revisit this Ohio thing for just a moment.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
It's related to what you're talking about, and that is police do not care about other people's rights.
Nope.
They do whatever they feel or want
please.
To do,
yep.
As a matter of fact. But going back to this Ohio thing, the news reported that 12 bullets were found in the body of the passenger. And let's assume for the sake of discussion that another 12 bullets were found in the body of the driver. Okay?
Yep.
That's 24 bullets. They know 137 bullets were discharged during the chase. Okay? Where did the other 113 bullets go? Where did they go?
Innocent bystanders, fodder?
Well, that's my point, Dale, and that is everybody's all upset about this whack job that killed these kids up in Connecticut, all right?
Well, I got more news about him
than
that, too. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going apoplectic over that, all right? And they're making a big deal about the rifle and the handguns that this guy had. But nowhere does it say that guy discharged 137 bullets anywhere, okay? So, Dale, if this guy is a menace to society because he went up there and slaughtered all those kids and he didn't discharge 137 bullets, what does that make the police on this chase? who did discharge 137 bullets, and it can only account for a very tiny portion of them.
Oh, I think it's very well made point, Paul. And I would say that, to you know, if we're playing collateral damage poker here, I would say I would meet you with that, and I'd raise you the fact that the boy, quote unquote, killed 20 children and himself, and they blame the massacre on too much liberty with guns. But we have a president who oversees the killing of 176 children in Pakistan with drones, and he's named Time Magazine's Man of the Year.
Sounds like the inmates are in charge of the asylum, Dale.
Inmates are in charge of the prison planet. That's what we have today, is a prison planet mentality. And I'm glad you brought up the killer up there in New Hampshire. I'm sorry, in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
New Hampshire's on the mind because the latest story to come out, and Ed and I were talking about this, how you can't trust the U.S. news. How sad is it? So you have to go to foreign news to find out what's going on in the U.S. because they're so afraid or just outright refusing to print the truth. Well, the latest story we're getting out of the Daily Mail Online today was that deranged Adam Lanza, if you will, had 3 or 4 days on his own to plot out this massacre after his mother left him alone to go to New Hampshire. And she did this after telling everybody, oh, you can't turn your back on him, you can't leave him alone. But come to find out, last week, she went to New Hampshire for a few days and left him home entirely alone with all the guns in the house. And she was concerned because he had spent hours on end in his room playing all these violent video games. The house is full of guns. I mean, I don't know which is worse, the neocons who want to play the video games or the left-wingers who want to play the guns, but he had it all there at his disposal. And you know, in the wake of the devastation, you have his father coming out saying that he and his family are in disbelief that his son could commit this atrocity.
Well, it is kind of interesting. A mutual friend of ours mentioned to me in a phone call today that it's kind of interesting that this mother had all this weaponry and ammunition in the house,
yeah,
with a child who she's known for an extremely long period of time, has mental health issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And reportedly, and again, I don't know if this is the mainstream media's cover story or what, but reportedly, mom was about to seek judicial intervention to get this kid committed so that he could get some kind of mental health treatment, and the kid found out about it, and he went literally ballistic. He literally went ballistic on this. So,
Some people want to blame the guns, and some people want to blame health care. Somehow they've kind of perverted the whole socialized health care discussion and brought in this about mental health. And I've heard people blame Ronald Reagan for this kid's death because, God forbid, Ronald Reagan cut all this social spending on mental health services. And I understand the concern. I know Mr. Springsteen was saying he blamed the mother more, and you got the left-wingers blaming the guns. But look at this house. I mean, look where this kid's living. Health care and access thereof was not a problem. We're talking about this kid whose father was a tax VP with GE, you know, the company who doesn't pay taxes. And we talked about last night the stories that, once again, you had to go overseas to Russia to get the story about how this mother, that they first claimed was a teacher, then we found out she wasn't. And then they said, oh, she was a teacher's aide, then we found out she wasn't. And then we found out nobody at the school even knew her. Come to find out, at one time, I don't know how long ago, I don't know for how long of a period, Paul, but for some time, she was actually employed as a psych analyst under the CIA.
Makes me wonder.
That doesn't
ring up
any red flags at all, does it?
Yeah, well, I don't believe in a lot of coincidences when it comes
no.
to any type of government operations. Coincidences in government, I think, are almost mutually exclusive.
Well, I mean, there's no such
okay.
thing as coincidences. And you know, another thing I barely touched on, I don't know if I even got this out last night, but you remember the story, Paul, back a couple months ago. It was all the news for like 2 days, the Colorado shooting at the theater, right?
Yeah.
Well, then we find out, connect the dots here, but I just briefly mentioned this to Ed last night. There was a big hearing. Do you remember the LIBOR LIBOR scandal?
Yes.
The LIBOR scandal? Well, believe it or not, the LIBOR scandal goes back to some hearings. I don't know how long ago these hearings took. Oh, yeah, this is back in June. When was James or Robert Holmes shooting. That was in when? Was that in August, September?
Well, the fact is, yeah, it's not too long ago.
Well, the point being that back in June, before the Connecticut shooting, back in June before the Colorado shooting, we had these LIBOR links, these LIBOR hearings, where they had to go before U.S. Senate and testify, the London Interbank Offered Rate scandal, known as LIBOR, where these banks could borrow from each other and borrow from each other, these international banksters. Would you believe, and this is going to be researched, people can look this up if they think I'm making this up, Paul, at the same LIBOR hearings testifying were Robert Holmes, a lead scientist for the credit card score company, FICO, who was the father of James Holmes, and also the VP of GE, who was the father of Mr. Lanza. That has to be a coincidence, right? Two mass shooters using automatic weapons, which they really weren't automatic weapons at all. It has to be a coincidence, Paul, that back in June, two men who testified would both have sons in the next 6 months do shoot 'em ups, right?
And the fact that the official government propaganda channel these days is MSNBC, which is owned by who?
GE. I mean, are these psyops cases, Paul? I mean, am I crazy to think that if you look at these witnesses and media and police, and they talk about Adam Lanza arrested outside the school in the woods in camo and body armor, oops, then there was no Adam Lanza. Then there was no Ryan Lanza. I mean, I'm just imagining all these weird, funny coincidences, right?
Well, what you're headbutting up against is the masses simply do not wish to believe that such a conspiratorial situation could exist in the USA involving government. And so, you know, the states that these folks live in is clearly Cleopatra's home state, and that's the state of denial. Okay. But I will tell you, ultimately, I hope that this fiscal cliff thing actually happens, because that will hopefully wake a few of them back up. Even amid the really rancorous partisanship being demonstrated by the Democrats and the Democrat Life parties, some of these folks are going to wake up, because that's going to start hitting them where they live. And until the pain gets sufficiently high on every single American, they are going to continue living in denial. So I think we really need some kind of a day of reckoning in that vein, simply to wake people back up.
They definitely don't believe that we should ever let a crisis go to waste. And the same semi-automatic weapons that they want to ban and outlaw were not even used in this crime in Connecticut. Ed mentioned himself last night on the Springsteen show here on the My View Matters Network that the only semi-automatic that they seem to be foaming at the mouth that we're getting rid of, he left in the car. He didn't even use it to contribute to a shoot 'em up. But that doesn't matter, because all they'll hear is school shooting guns, must get rid of the guns. I mean, what do they think is going to happen? I mean, I said this at the beginning of the show with this idiot Piers Morgan. Does he just think that if the government says it, then all the guns will just be turned in? How many millions? Is it 300 million guns in this country, Paul?
I don't know how many guns are, but I know
there's
300
million.
There are hundreds of millions of low information voters and people in our society today, because they are clearly not, they either do not have the ability to think these things through, or they are just too lazy to think things through.
I mean, what part of the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed do idiots like this English wanker not get? I mean, I guess they think we're just supposed to do like they do in England. I mean, hell, why didn't people talk about the knife killing, where ironically had almost the same number of kids killed at a public school in, where was it, China or Japan?
I think it was
China. That story happened the same day as the Connecticut shooting.
Yeah, it was one of those two. But
low information knives in many of those countries. I saw a picture today that one of my friends in the United Kingdom posted on his social network that showed in a department store, if you were going to go in, Paul, like here at a Target or a Walmart, you cannot buy cutlery there unless you're 18 years old. because it could be a weapon of
socialist. It has to be one of the socialist countries.
It was England.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I mean, there was a picture there where he had taken, this friend of mine, who had taken a picture of standing in a flatware department where you would buy silverware, and it said you must be 18 to buy it.
Don't you love it?
So I guess that's what they want here. We know that's what these imports like Piers Morgan want. And we know that they never let a good crisis go to waste. And again, you can't get rid of all the guns. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't want people to defend themselves. He's always MSNBC, like you said, who we know is owned by GE, who this kid's father was the vice president of. They're always talking about how, well, we got to get rid of the guns, and, oh, it's not true that you're safer if you have guns. How do they explain Chicago?
Well, but Dale, your argument flies in the face of the fact that these folks simply want government to take care of them. I have a friend that I play competitive sports with. He's 68 years old. He is in the tank on the government doing things for him that I say he should be doing for himself. He thinks the government's main role is to take care of all of the citizens and take care of almost every one of their needs. And we have some very lively discussions regarding that fact. Very lively. Every time I mention the fact that the people who have that kind of thought processes are simply abdicating their responsibility for themselves, he doesn't like to talk about that.
Oh, no.
He doesn't think that there should be any extensive personal responsibility. And, in fact, he bought into that the root of all the problems in the United States are big corporations.
And I can't argue with him about big corporations, but why
No, but the biggest corporation is a corporation called the United States government.
Right,
and he's
exactly.
Okay with that corporation doing what it does. Okay. So, again, it is a classic hypocrisy situation, which a lot of these low-information people have, liberal-minded people, they simply engage in hypocrisy, and part of the hypocrisy that they engage in is due to them simply not wanting to accept the cold, hard facts of life. They're in denial.
Well, they want the government not only to take care of you, but I guess that they're okay with the government watching you. I mean, if they want to be treated like the government's children, just like this this kid and Nancy Lanza's child, they think the government should never let us out of their eye.
We're going to use the phrase that you used early in the show, and that is, if you on this Ohio story, and that is, if you've got nothing to hide, why did you run? So if you've got nothing to hide, what's the big deal that the government sticking their nose in to your business?
Well, we know the government. The public outrage over the issue of privacy is the only thing that can turn the tide. I mean, technology innovation advances. We know technology is well ahead of government, but why is it that people think that the technology is simplifying their lives? I shared with Ed last night on the Springsteen show about how I have friends who have had their Facebook accounts suspended for daring to question the government's story of what happened in Connecticut. And they don't understand that these people have an agenda. That's why I said they are agenda-driven, and they don't understand that when the technology is free like that, I said this last night, it's bearing repeating, when the product is free, that means you are the product. And what I mean
I don't have a Facebook account.
Well, you're a smart
either.
Man. The only time I use it is just to kind of pick fights with them. I kind of go into their house and pick fights with them, and somehow they haven't kicked me out of their house yet, which is fine with me, but it's a private company, and people think it's their own little public playground, so in the interest of privacy rights, you got to give them credit that they built this big creation that's kind of got everybody mesmerized, but it's their private product, and people will post every thinkable and unthinkable item of both word and picture on there, not realizing, read the policies, read the privacy practices, and say those belong to them.
Oh, Dale, that's having to take responsibility for your decision.
I know.
Low information people don't want to do that. They want other people to make decisions, and then when decisions don't turn out so hot, they want to blame the other person. So So I think that the whole concept of Facebook was, from a government's point of view,
yes,
was a genius stroke, because stating that it was free was
mm-hmm.
a powerful draw, and then people, huge numbers of people, love the notoriety that comes with having something like a Facebook account and showing off to the world what a wonderful human being
yeah.
they might be.
It's all about them. And, you know, they get on there and post all their private lives. It's their own little soap opera, and they're the star.
And the beauty of that is that the government doesn't have to spend as much money on surveillance, because we got all these people self-reporting for free.
You got it. You got it. And that's the thing. You think about that coinciding with Homeland Security releasing a list of characteristics that qualify us as domestic terrorists, and they just mix and match. They just compare, and they find out who they want to call a terrorist. I mean, you got New York City, a social media eavesdropping unit that has been established to follow users on Facebook and Twitter. And while the nation's capital has incorporated these automatic license plate readers, other large cities are looking to facial recognition technology to scan crowds for individuals. So the most controversial, I think, are these mobile backscatter vans. Have you seen these, Paul?
No.
What these are, they're like these porno scanner wagons that drive around, and they look like your typical child molester when he drives his van around the Best Buy parking lot. And these scanners will cruise American streets, peering through your cars and your clothes to find something that they think might make you a terrorist, and they're called mobile backscatter vans. Doesn't that make you feel safe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's nothing that I've wanted more than to live in a country that wants to monitor everything that I do for any reason that they want. Yeah, it makes me feel better.
Well, what it reminds me of, and I said last night, if we get to a point that we only want the police to have guns, that's called a police state. And Paul, I know you're a smart man. Do you remember the quote? And I'm rambling to find it here while I babble on. But do you remember the quote from President Eisenhower about safety?
No, I'm not sure not that particular one. I don't know many Eisenhower quotes.
I'm trying to find the quote here that he gave about, here it is. He said, this is at the time President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and he said, I can find the quote in front of me. This is live radio, folks, riveting, I know. But he talked about, you know, what to expect if you want safety, and he said, if you want total security and safety, go to prison. Because you're protected and you have your meals provided and your room and board, and nothing can happen to you, but you're in prison. And doesn't that seem a lot like our country today, a prison planet?
Well, you're quoting Alex Jones. And, you know, years ago when I first became acquainted with Alex Jones, I thought he was a little bit out there, okay? But that was years ago. And the more I see what's happening here, Alex has been he's been ringing the bell for us to pay attention all along. And the good news is there are more people paying attention. But the question that I have is, will it be enough to start paying attention in adequate time to save the constitutional framework that established this country? And I don't
know
the answer
question.
To that.
Yeah, that is the question I want people to think about, what Paul just asked you. And do you have the resources? We know you have the resources, but will it be enough, and will you have time to save this country? Folks, we're going to take our one quick musical break. As the year 2013 comes upon us, what will you do for liberty?
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are glad to have you here on the Thursday Night Truth Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. We thank our friend Paul from Stop It, our good friend Paul Hogger, who called in. He just dropped off the line, so there's a few minutes if someone wants to get in, but we're up against the hard end of the show, and I think Paul made it very clear what we need to look at, and that is what can be done. Is it too little too late for the cause of liberty? And there's just not enough public outrage about your privacy being raped. And that's what's happening. The government and their willing accomplices like Facebook and Google are basically anally raping your rights. Technology plays a vital role in our breach of civil liberties. And that's where we're getting at before we went into the musical break there with The Man Comes Around by Johnny Cash. And you know, there was a movie that was 10 years ago now called Minority Report. And who knew that this was going to be prophecy? You see, the film was set in the year 2054, but we don't have to wait that long because the police apprehended criminals in this movie based on foreknowledge provided by psychics. Makes you feel warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Right out of that movie, the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, is experimenting with facial expression machines that can determine what a person is feeling. You see, from behind these space age advancements lurk corporations like Google and Apple. And folks, I'm not mad at corporations. We love small businesses here on the show. But I'm talking about large, mammoth corporations that seemingly were built from the ground up, wink, wink. And they track your data from your smartphones, or they data mine private information. I would beg some of you all to go out there and maybe install a program on your computer like Do Not Track Me by Abine, A-B-I-N-E. Or maybe you can go out there and get a program called Ghostery or AdBlock Pro and basically find out what companies are doing on your computer when you don't even have the damn foggiest idea that they're doing it. You see, if internet service providers decide that you're downloading too many movies, they can limit your access through a new process called shaping bandwidth. And how long before the banks will put microchips in the credit cards that maybe will transmit your purchases directly to marketing agencies? We already see these Kroger cards and grocery cards that track why you buy things. Well, if you're going to get one, do like I did and give fake information. You see, we've talked about things deep down in the school district of San Antonio, Texas, where they're putting RFID implants on student IDs. This is how far we've come, folks. They're putting RFID implants on student IDs. You see, that story worked its way into other news media across the country, and unfortunately, though, the trend is expanding. This past fall, high school students from Maryland over to Massachusetts did away with daily roll calls. And instead, they issued ID cards, and you just have the kids swipe their cards. Why not? We've had employers at companies doing this for years. Swipe your card and let us know that you're at work. How long before the card just becomes a chip? Because you could lose that card. But if we could just implant the chip in your hand or, I don't know, maybe your forehead, you don't have to worry about losing the card. You don't have to buy another card. You see, governments from the local level all the way up to the District of Criminals, D.C., have been encouraging the good old-fashioned snitch culture under the, quote, see something, say something program, whereby neighbors can turn in neighbors for things like, oh, I don't know, questioning the official story of the 9/11 bombings. I'm sorry, plane wrecks. Or maybe owning guns or stockpiling food or weapons. 8 years ago, the DHS came under fire for enrolling truck drivers into a highway watch program 8 years ago where they could report allegedly suspicious behavior. And that program laid the groundwork for a list of characteristics aforementioned in my conversation with Paul, characteristics that could qualify you as a domestic terrorist. As author Jim Redden said in his book, Snitch Culture, quote, citizens are being turned into the eyes and ears of the state. If you can have the police download your personal information, your photos, your videos, even locations where you have traveled, these snooping tools override hidden information and even secure passwords. See, we're not trying to scare the hell out of you, folks. But the stories we bring to the airwaves are real. They're damn real. And maybe it'll scare you enough to get your ass up off the couch and do something about liberty. Maybe it'll scare you enough to stop going along with local authorities who ask you questions and none of their damn business. You see, we don't think that the world is going to end, quote unquote, with tomorrow's calendar date. Hell, it's already 12:21 in parts of the world. And once again, we saw what really came of that was it was a group of people who were agenda-driven. They had an agenda-driven piece of news for you about the world ending, and it was all a hoax because it fit their agenda. I want to end the program tonight talking about a gentleman who died 11 years ago. Milton William Cooper. We may have even talked about Mr. Cooper on this show from time to time. But Mr. Cooper, they called him an American conspiracy theorist. You see, he did a radio show where he would get on and warn people about their government. Sound familiar? You see, Mr. Cooper, in the 1980s and 90s, was doing shows where he warned people about the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and Majestic 12 and the Protocols of Zion. Well, see, Mr. Cooper did his last show on the radio from his home office in Arizona back on November 5th of 2001. And why was that Mr. Cooper's last show? We see Mr. Cooper was fatally shot that night by a law enforcement officer at his home in Eager, Arizona, after confronting deputies who were trying to arrest him and shooting at him. Authorities said that Cooper was carrying a handgun. He fled when the deputies identified themselves and tried to arrest him on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. and endangerment stemming from his earlier dispute with the local residents. You see, Mr. Cooper went off the airwaves that night thinking it was just another show. Federal authorities reported that he had spent years trying to avoid capture. And just like with Al Capone, they try to get him on tax-related charges. Tax evasion was what supposedly they had an arrest warrant for him. And Mr. Cooper vowed that he would not be taken alive. Mr. Milton William Cooper wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse back in 1991, right as we, your humble hosts, were just being awakened to what was going on around us. So this is not the last day on the planet. Well, it may be for some, but it's not the last day for the planet. But it will be the last day for liberty if we don't get a new crew of liberty-oriented folks standing up, fighting the establishment, fighting the two-party system that we call the Uniparty. We need people who are willing to say no to the local authorities, who are willing to question what they tell them at the DMV, who are willing to stand up and quarrel with the folks who want to get all your information when you go and buy a new product at the Radio Shack, or people who want to give you a hard way to go at the county clerk's office. You need to stand up and question authority. You need to be willing to say why and not just okay. You need to be willing to question what they tell you to do. You see, Albert Einstein said, unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth. And James Madison said, I believe that there are more instances of the abridgment of our freedoms by gradual and silent encroachments in those in power than there are by violent and sudden usurpations. And finally, Samuel Adams said, if ever a time comes when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. I ask you all to get out there and do something for liberty. I ask you all to get out there and keep the Constitution from being ruined. I ask you all to get out there and look your government in the eye and say death to the New World Order. Good night, everyone. Stay safe.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You
can't handle the truth.
Was the price to pay for liberty? Still you.